Coming up next on Functional Moms Podcast.
You will have brain fog when you are revved up. If you're constantly in a state of sympathetic, your body does not produce serotonin and dopamine, and you are just burnt out. So the brain fog doesn't have to come from some sort of lack of or imbalance of a hormone. It's like if you're just revved up and sympathetic all the time, you will burn out, period. That's where the brain fog comes from. You are just overwhelmed.
Welcome to Functional Moms Podcast, lifestyle medicine for women over 40. Let's age on our own terms.
This episode is for you if you're curious how acupuncture can help you balance hormones no matter what stage of life you're in. From puberty, pregnancy, perimenopause, and menopause, acupuncture might be the missing link to feeling your best.
Our guest today is Dr. Michael Bays, a graduate of the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine. He holds a doctorate in the study of acupuncture and herbal medicine. Dr. Bays brings 20 years of experience to his role as a patient-focused acupuncturist and herbalist in his Shrewsbury, New Jersey office.
Dr. Bays, thank you so much for joining us today. And we would like to start by asking you, what is acupuncture?
So acupuncture is a form of medicine. It's a system of medicine that is thousands of years old. What we use is filaments, right? We insert them strategically into areas of the body in order to, number one, increase circulation locally. And then in the case of pain, we can modulate or block the pain signal regionally in the nerve pathway. And then when it finally gets to the brain, there's a release of endorphins, which further relieve pain. But that's where you get that sort of regulating effect you were talking about with hormone balances. People realize that there's so many things you don't control. I use the example, you can hold your breath, you still have to breathe. You can hold it in, you still have to go to the bathroom. Plus your digestion, all the daily functions of life run on a timer. And then when we get kind of overwhelmed, they start to fall apart. So that central effect, the release of endorphins, is critical mechanism that gets overlooked because, let's just face it, everybody's calling them needles, but we like to call them filaments.
Yeah, because sometimes we do hear that people are nervous to try acupuncture because they think it's needles, but you're saying filaments, so you're talking about a very thin needle. I mean, I can attest, I've done acupuncture, there's no pain involved when right. The needles are inserted. And it's actually just an amazing feeling when you get the treatment, you really feel relaxed. And then afterwards, you have such a kind of a relaxed response where you really can calm everything down. So basically, it's a whole body treatment. Mm-hmm. Like you're not just treating one specific part of the body. Is it sort of like in functional medicine where we look at the whole body as a system? Is it similar in that respect?
Back when we first started, it was called holistic. When you take a holistic view, if somebody says to me, well, I have bronchitis, I say, well, bronchitis is a symptom. It's the inflammation of the bronchioles. What is the source of the inflammation? Is it viral? Is it allergic? Is it, infectious? Like, what is the root cause? And then implementing some sort of strategy to correct that so that you don't have this chronic, instead of like medicating it and reducing the inflammation and being dependent on a pharmaceutical, what is it that's causing it and getting to that, right? The autonomic nervous system controls so many things, but we put it through so much stress, both chemical, not just emotional stress that we're all familiar with, there's chemical stress and physical stress, aches and pains, bad diet, coffee, society as it is. So we do want to address what the lifestyle cause is for a lot of the stuff that we're suffering from. And then you say, we do treat a lot of things. There is a value to acupuncture. It's not just about back pain. It could be about, generalized depression, anxiety. It could be about hormonal imbalances, cramp, fertility, menopause. It all has a root cause. And we can do that all in one treatment.
Wow. How does acupuncture help women balance hormones in perimenopause and menopause? How does it help that specifically?
So there's this concept of the hypothalamic pituitary ovarian axis, which is a mouthful. So the brain releases a hormone that tells the pituitary gland to tell the ovaries to regulate estrogen and progesterone. So right there, there's like 4 or 5 steps. But I like to sort of use an analogy and simplify and say, we want the brain communicating with the reproductive organs. So when, again, a product of modern society, We're always stressed. We're always overscheduled. We're always running around. We produce cortisol, and cortisol blocks how the brain releases gonadotropic hormone to tell the pituitary gland, to tell the ovaries to release estrogen and progesterone. So again, using those big words makes it sound complicated. The release of endorphins cuts down cortisol and allows the brain to communicate with the reproductive organs. Acupuncture is a therapy-based medicine. You will need more than one visit, but the goal is every visit, there has to be some sort of improvement. In the case of menstrual issues, you're only looking at like a 28-day sort of like, do I have cramps? I don't. So we treat, we regulate when it comes. So I tell people, you ask a patient and you ask them if they have a period and they say it's normal. But normal, what people have been told is uncomfortable, painful, headaches, irregular, as long as it comes. No, for us, a regular period is 28 days, symptom-free, track it or don't wear a white dress. I mean that because if you're not paying attention, we have patients who go on vacation, we're working on their cycle, and guess what? It comes when they're relaxed in an atmosphere on vacation and they're wearing a white dress. So that's a normal period. And that's how people kind of can get closer to optimal fertility or better menstrual health or reduce the effects of, you know, going through menopause.
Yeah. So you said that you'd have, you know, obviously you'd have to have more than one treatment. What would be a typical, like, would you have to go once a week for a certain amount of time?
Yeah. I mean, depending on coverage, but people have to pay sometimes out of pocket. I like to work with my patients once a week, at least with herbs, or twice a week if, you know, they're willing to make that sort of like financial investment or have the coverage twice a week. It depends on how fast you want to resolve it, right? But here's what I say. If somebody comes into me and they say they suffer from horrible cramps their whole lives, I need that initial sort of like treatment to the next period, depending on where we are in the cycle. That next cycle has to be significantly better. What does that mean? Less pain, like significantly less pain, less days of cramping, no headaches, less headaches, you know, and as we get through the second or third, then, you know, we normalize and then we don't have cramps. We don't have headaches. We don't have breast tenders. We have all these things, all this extra symptoms. You know, we all focus on cramps, but there's things like back and, you know, knee pain. There's things like digestive issues. There's breakouts. There's breast tenderness. There's cramps. There's headaches. There's so many things that need to just improve with every, you know, cycle as we treat.
So you can reevaluate after each cycle and see where you're going. And then you mentioned herbs. So how does that play a role?
So herbs, so that everybody knows, is the oldest form of medicine on the planet, right? Before we were Homo sapiens, there's evidence of like Neanderthal and Homo ergaster with residue on their teeth of non-edible plants that had some sort of medicinal purpose. And we've done that by observing the behavior of animals. It's called zoopharmacognosis. So here we are in the year 2024. Herbs can be tricky and complicated, but they are effective if they're used properly. So what I say about herbs is somewhere in between eating properly and pharmaceutical intervention. So you know you are not ever not going to eat properly. You have to. People, how long do I have to take herbs? Well, how long do you have to eat properly? You know, forever, right? So herbs is just like one step more, some one step further of improving. So if we say it's going to take us, I don't know, a few months to, you know, improve our cholesterol from eating properly, herbs has to get that done in less time. Because it's just that more effective. So in the case of like, you know, cramps and menstrual symptoms, the herbs have to be working in conjunction to shrink that window of time between discomfort, between cycles.
And when you say herbs, do you mean like Chinese herbs or are there other kinds?
Yes. So there are a lot of herbs out there and herbs aren't strictly exclusive to China. They grow all over the place and some of the Chinese herbs do. The ones that I'm familiar with are in the Chinese pharmacopoeia, what we studied in traditional Chinese medicine or Chinese herbal medicine. So they are to some degree foreign, but not inaccessible. Like, you know, dandelions grow everywhere. They don't have to be from Mongolia. Sure. You know, skullcap root or same thing with like here, like supplements. Like berberine or curcumin. Like people are like, well, what do you think of curcumin? I don't think about curcumin because it's only one part of the turmeric plant. And if you just take that one piece out of the anti-inflammatory function, you're missing all the nutrients in turmeric. You're missing all the other pharmacological properties that help from the turmeric plant when you turn it into berberine or curcumin. So I'm really big on whole plants, like multiple. The difference between herbal medicine in the West and China is that we actually use multiple herbs together with a strategy that kind of moderates some of their harsh properties. So multiple herbs, multiple functions, more comprehensive strategy.
And what about quality sourcing? Because I've heard that's an issue for people.
I love this question. So I use a pharmacy from Taiwan. It's not Chinese, right? Taiwan, the pharmacy that I use is been around since 1892. They adhere to international quality control standards, ISO 9001, 9002 for production and lab quality and cleanliness. And they are USDA organic. So wherever you are on that, I mean, I kind of buy organic food. I feel whatever their standard is, it's still better than just, you know, anywhere. I know people say there's a misconception about products coming from China. My herbs come from Taiwan. They are just that much better. I had a good professor who encouraged us to use that brand and, you know, tracking them to see that their quality. And not only, listen, you could talk about quality till you're blue in the face. The fact of the matter is the herbs work. The patients thrive. They do well. So, you know, just stick to it. And that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So I just want to cover, does acupuncture hurt? Because I know that people think of it as going into your skin and that can cause a little mental stress for someone thinking about that.
Absolutely not. It should be a pleasant experience, but you should feel something, which we do walk the patient through. So I don't like to call them needles, although you'll hear me calling it because that's what we were told. Filaments is a better term because let's talk about that. Needles evokes that sensation of discomfort, of sharp, from when your pediatrician stabbed you. That memory is stored in your brain of pain. So your back pain or your neck pain is a stored memory perceived in the brain. So if we don't say needle and we say filament right there, there's sort of like a Jedi mind trick that kind of eases the patient. So people say, oh, I don't like acupuncture. I don't like needles. I say, that's great. I don't use needles. Oh, really? Okay. And then the conversation can move forward. With that being said, when you insert the filament, right, you're trying to elicit a response. So with a back pain or a neck pain, it's usually muscular, and muscular means that it's overused and tired. So trigger point, knot, spasm, radiculopathy, it's all the same terminology for a pinched nerve. So the muscles tighten and they clamp down. Most obviously in a sciatica, you will have pain in the butt that travels down the leg, but the root cause is the glutes, you know, going into spasm and clamping down on the sciatic nerve. So when I insert the filament, I'm looking for that muscle to kind of jump. Some people call it, they think it's called dry needling, but dry needling, let's be clear, dry needling is acupuncture. Don't let people try to fool you about that. So done properly, yes, you will get the, and then that's according to the AMA, the American Medical Association, not Dr. Michael Bay, the acupuncturist. The doctor's saying the same thing. So when you insert the filament into a muscle, there should be some sort of involuntary muscle response. That's the deactivating of the tightness. So when somebody feels it's a little abrupt, but not uncomfortable, but we have to kind of communicate that I am unclamping that muscle. I'm relaxing that muscle to take pressure off the nerve. You will improve, but it is sort of like a necessary piece of the puzzle. And certain areas and certain muscles fasciculate more than others. They twitch more than others, but that's a critical piece. The local effect of acupuncture, improving the function of the muscle, the root cause, the tightness around the nerve, we have to get that muscle to clamp. So that is something that's, you know, a skill and a technique that's part of an acupuncture treatment that shouldn't hurt and should be pleasant. That's what we want. Kristen's sort of like experience of relaxation. Nobody went to acupuncture and felt worse. They always felt better. We need to get over that sort of like terminology of the fear of the filaments. It's not the same thing. Actually, we have what's called painless insertion. So when you set up the filament on the surface of the skin, we get it in so fast so it doesn't register as sharp. So nobody ever feels. And if it does, listen, we're not perfect, but if it does, let us know. We can adjust it. I do a trillion of these over the course of lifespan. I'm not going to get them all correctly. So if there is something, we can always just, you know, troubleshoot and adjust. But during the resting portion, it should not be uncomfortable ever.
I will add, you mentioned sciatica, and I have to say it worked amazing for that. For me, I had some issues with sciatica, like after having my kids. And then my mother, too, had knee surgery, and she used acupuncture for the sciatica, and it was amazing. So if anyone has issues with that, I would highly recommend acupuncture.
I tell you what, if I've been doing this for 20 years and I know one thing with 99.9 degree certainty, sciatica for me is an easy fix, like gone. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because, listen, I am respectful. I am aware of the medicine. It's not, I'm putting the filaments in, but the medicine itself is doing the work. And I've had people come in with wheelchairs. I've had people come in with walkers, crutches, walking out like a 10 show revival. And it's scary because people kind of like associate that sort of faith healing. And it's not, it's the science behind the medicine. It's just that effective, especially with sciatica. So simple.
So Dr. Bays, I know that before you mentioned, you know, everybody knows, but first, for those of us that don't know, like, because Kristen has obviously had experience with, you know, acupuncture. And so for someone that has really no experience, so I just noticed that you said the insertion with medicine.
Of the medicine of acupuncture. Okay. So the filament is a stainless steel, sterile, surgical grade implement. That's it. There's nothing that goes in it. Oh, that's okay. So that's another reason why it doesn't hurt, because we're not cutting into anything or taking anything out. Mm. It's not like a cannula, like a blood work, right? Or an injection. It's just going into strategic areas and influencing the local physiology. So when I say the medicine, I don't mean the pharmaceutical. I mean the medicine of acupuncture. Pardon me for that.
So the process of what acupuncture does is what you're referring to when you say medicine that you create. Right. Correct. Got that. And that being said, when you say the medicine of this process, what exactly is that? So let's just say, for example, you guys are talking about like sciatica, like, so, and you just said like, you know, somebody, that's one of the things that you really help with. Mm-hmm. What is it about the acupuncture that helps a person with sciatica? Like, what is the process? Like, what do you attribute that to?
Okay. So I love this question because I've thought about it my whole career and I want to, you know, make it into some very digestible sound bites. How does acupuncture work? I need everybody after this sort of like episode to know without a doubt how it's not Chinese voodoo. It's not magical mystery. It's not esoteric. I break it down to three effects locally, right? In order to improve the function of any organ, whether it's a muscle, ovary, or a uterus, or a heart for that matter, you need to increase circulation to it, right? It gets starved and cut off. So that sore back that you're feeling from sitting at a desk 8 hours a day is going to feel anywhere between three to an eight, dull ache, constant. It's going to respond well to heat, pressure, and stretching, right? Because the muscle is tight. So when we insert the filler, number one, think about this, right? When you cut yourself, what happens? Do you bleed out and die? No. The body has the ability to heal itself. So the elegance and the subtlety of the medicine is if we harness that mechanism and apply it to an ovary, a uterus, or a glute for sciatic or a low back for lumbar back pain, we're just bringing circulation, improving the function of that organ, okay? Mm-hmm. So again, the other aspect I talked about, the twitching, the local twitch response, we're regulating muscle physiology, okay? Now that signal travels through the nerve pathway and it's called the diffuse noxious inhibitory controls or the gate theory. The body has the ability to modulate pain. And I think when you cut yourself now, you shake your finger like, owie, right? Why do we do that? Because the movement actually overrides the pain signal. The pain signal, the chronic pain signal, is actually a slow signal. You can block it effectively. So acupuncture in the nerve pathway blocks how that pain signal is perceived. So when we say ouch, sharp from a needle or that dull ache that you're experiencing, we can block it in the nerve pathway. And then finally, when it gets to the brain, we release endorphins, which further relieves pain. But as we said before, cortisol being the stress root cause of a lot of, you know, menstrual irregularities, the endorphin release from the acupuncture actually cuts that and allows the brain to communicate with the reproductive organs or the rest of the body. So local, regional, and central effects, reproducible every time. These are all reproducible physiological mechanisms. And it works. Why? Because it works on animals, right? And they're not susceptible to placebo. Like, people know this because we've seen it in labs. We've seen it reproduced. Minimally invasive, non-pharmaceutical, highly effective.
Wow. So that being said, how does acupuncture help with like anxiety and like the fight or flight response?
Okay. So responsibility through practice, we have had some clinical counseling in my career as an acupuncturist. We can be empathetic and we can listen and we can help people, but we are not psychologists. To get to the root, okay, I'll give you an example of a situation. I have a woman that comes in and will ask her, I have anxiety. So I have night sweats, hot flashes, night sweats, palpitations, anxiety, insomnia. Okay. First question, is there a history of trauma? Yes. Are you working with a therapist? Yes. Great. No, you need to see a therapist. Next question, can we help with that symptom? Now, if you don't have a history of trauma, then what you're looking at is like a surge of progesterone. You may be just feeling the effects of, you know, menopause. That's what progesterone does. It makes you sort of flighty, right? Mm-hmm. So if that's the case and there's no history of trauma, we can balance that. And then you can help the autonomic if progesterone is the root cause. If you have a more complex situation, it would be irresponsible for me to say that acupuncture is the only thing. You need to do the work. You need to work with a therapist. And like, oh, I tried, it didn't work. No, you need to find a person that works for you. Have to work through that piece. So there is a level of efficacy and responsibility. If you need to do the work, we are a physical intervention. We can help you adhere to that. We work with patients with severe, you know, emotional trauma, working through tragic life events, but they need to work with a therapist. And it's a one like hard no for me. Like if you're not working with a therapist, you need to be working. Otherwise, it could be a hormonal imbalance. It could be the overproduction of, so what happens when we see an external stimulus, the body produces cortisol, it releases noradrenaline and epinephrine. So the heart rate goes up, the blood vessels shrink, the literal definition of high blood pressure. that mechanism, that fight or flight, that sympathetic response, the endorphin release can cut that and regulate it. Mm-hmm. But if you go back into that situation where you're triggering that history of sort of like emotional trauma, that's not where acupuncture is going to help you. It'll help you get through it. It's the therapy and the work that will help you get and normalize.
So seeing a therapist, I'm talking mm-hmm. about just like someone that's just suffering from like anxiety, let's say, for example, and they're just having a lot of anxiety and stress. You're saying that acupuncture can help with that in conjunction with Absolutely. Working with a therapist.
Yes.
And okay, because I'm trying to understand, like, that's amazing. And like, I'm trying to understand, like, how is that helping? Like somebody that has nothing to do with the hormones or anything like that, they're just having some anxiety issues and such, and they are seeing a therapist. How is the acupuncture helping that person?
So the release of endorphins cuts the production of cortisol and puts you at the end of an acupuncture treatment, you should be in a parasympathetic state, rested. And if you allow yourself, that's a big loaded question. Like the patient has to allow themselves. They have to try to shut their brain off, give themselves a break from their own brain. And that's why I have no phones. 20 minutes, you got to shut it off. And you know, we'll help you, right? We'll set the environment. We'll do some spray, some aromatherapy. We'll put the music on. We'll turn the lights out, put the heat lamp on. We have an environment. And after like a therapy-based medicine, your body picks up on these cues and knows it's time to relax. You have to let yourself relax. That's a big piece of the puzzle. So people say, you know, there's no right or wrong way to meditate. The hard part is shutting the noise off.
Right.
That's where you get better at it. But you could do that in acupuncture because it does release endorphins. And whether you want to or not, most of the time, it will, you know, knock you out. I've done this over and over again. I worked in substance abuse. I worked in a detox. You get a room full of people off the recreation or the medication that they're on, the substance like opiates, they're out of their mind. And I know it works because it's not me. It's the staff, the collateral staff. Can you do something with these people? Of course I could do something. I put them in a room, filaments in the ears, release endorphins, put some Navajo flute music on, and they're out cold. They're quiet, right? Why? Because it's a reproducible physiological mechanism. We release endorphins every time you do an acupuncture. If you shut your phone off and we'll give yourself a break, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I could see if you had unresolved trauma that it might be hard to get into that relaxed state. So I see where you're saying it's important to have the therapy.
Yeah. Nobody wakes up one day and says, I want to be a drug addict. There's a history mm-hmm. of trauma and that needs to be addressed. So full responsibility, that needs to be under the care of a psychologist, not psychiatrist. I'm not saying medicate it. I'm saying do the hard work and then we'll manage the physical symptoms, the discomfort, the anxiety, the palpitations and the insomnia and all that stuff.
I wanted to circle back. You mentioned a little bit about the woman that's coming in with maybe hot flashes and brain mm-hmm. fog and that kind of thing. And you said something about progesterone and cortisol. So I was wondering if you could just explain that a little more and like how acupuncture could help.
So menopause, not to oversimplify, but in order to do what we do, we need to kind of get like an algorithm or reverse engineer physiology. Menopause is the withdrawal from estrogen and the surge of progesterone. Actually, menopause is not unlike somebody withdrawing from opiates. The withdrawal from opiates creates the same profile of a person going through menopause. So hot flashes, night sweats, palpitations, anxiety, insomnia. Those are the five cardinal symptoms. And you don't have to have, it's not everybody's a textbook. Some people will have joint ache. Some people will have brain fog. Some people will have this. You will have brain fog when you are revved up. Like if you're constantly in a state of sympathetic, your body does not produce serotonin and dopamine and you are just burnt out. So the brain fog doesn't have to come from some sort of lack of or imbalance of a hormone. It's like if you're just revved up and sympathetic all the time, you will burn out, period. That's where the brain fog comes from. You are just overwhelmed. On top of everything, that's a chemical stressor, right? The emotional stress of life, the physical stress of like aches and pains and stuff, it all adds up. So what we do is, I'm not saying you're not going to go through menopause, but what we will do is kind of balance out the surge of progesterone. We will tamp it down, maybe kick out a little extra estrogen once your body. Okay. The reason it helps is I have to warn my patients approaching the 50, 52 year mark to use protection during intimacy because we can turn back the clock. There have been times where my patients at 48, at 52 have gotten pregnant because the body starts to work properly. That imbalance is just something that happens in age. But with acupuncture, you can kind of balance it to the point where you start to ovulate again. You know, it's not going to be on a clock on day 14 like you were like at the prime, but it does happen. So at the age, just when you think like it's all over, well, guess what? Now you may be producing an extra egg because your cycle's kind of reversing itself. We are turning back the clock because the body knows to do that. But eventually you will, you know, kind of go through it. We just make it a little more comfortable.
That's really amazing, actually. And I saw you had a testimonial on your website of someone that got pregnant at 49. Like, you help people with fertility.
That was a lot of work. She was going through it. Yeah. So that patient. So in my practice, I treat a lot of fertility. And the opening statement is everybody gets pregnant. And I mean that because I get obsessive when I lose a patient that kind of falls off treatment and I don't know if they did or didn't. I always track them down. And they do, regardless whether they do acupuncture or not. Because you've been told, you know, women's health, I'm sorry to say, and I'm sure you don't want to hear this from me, but women's health in this country is gaslighting, right? It's like, oh, it's normal, right? Here's the pill for your cramps, right?
We know,
acne, right? Being on Accutane and being on birth control because the risk of having like, it's a teratogen, it mutates your DNA and having like, you know, a genetically aberrant offspring is a possibility. So that's not medicine. That's just wrong, right? So if we were to say we want to treat this, we want to get to the root cause. We don't want to medicate it because then 15 to 20 years down that road, the acne or the cramps, that girl's going to want to get pregnant and she's going to be told, you're too old, your eggs are bad, you're running out of time. And again, pardon me for saying, your mother-in-law's on your ass, the bitch at the baby shower got pregnant. She does everything wrong. I do everything right. And I'm not just saying that to be funny. These are real soundbite from the clinic. This is what women tell me. Women drop out of the workforce in order to become, you know, go through IVF. The patient on the website, 49 years old, multiple failed IVFs, 11. I had almost kind of given up on her and she had no cervix. So she had to do IVF. Okay. And I said to her, Liz, I'm very sorry. I don't know what else I can do for you. I'm trying really hard. She says, no, you don't understand. I need to do this to get through all the other crap that they're putting me through. So when you get into a situation for fertility, it's not about not doing or doing something. It's about making your life easier. So I don't care how you get pregnant, IUI, IVF, donor eggs, natural. I'm going to treat you like you're going to get pregnant naturally, whether you do or don't, right? So if it does happen in between cycles, yay for us. If not, that's fine too. In order to have a successful IVF, we need to increase circulation to the uterus for endometrial receptivity. And to backtrack, we need to improve egg quality. So you stimulate, people get stimulated. Oh, I only produce 3 eggs. Well, guess what, sister? You're only supposed to produce 1 every month, not 32, right? Oh, I didn't produce 32 eggs. They're not, it's just, it's too much for the body to do that. So getting back to that whole piece about women's health is gaslighting. We don't want that in the clinic. We want the kind of, it's not a question if you're going to get pregnant. It's the when you have to let go because people want to get pregnant yesterday, right? And that's just an extra stress. And then when it fails, is that disappointment, the isolation, the lack of intimacy. There's only one way to make a baby. It's cheap and it's fun, but people are spending thousands of dollars. The national average of success for IVF is 40% in this country. And I'm talking about Dr. Damien upstairs. He's up at 60. He's an amazing guy. But still, that's like taking your chips and betting worse than black, $20,000. And it fails. So we get this economic stress and this failure and the disappointment and the isolation and the separation of the emotion. Now, we have to kind of like shrink that window and improve the environment. So we're not health coaches here. We're health cheerleaders. We want you to get pregnant. We don't care how it happens.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That was,
yeah. And so that's kind of amazing. You're saying, you know, you do have some control over this, of your egg quality and all that. Like, I think a lot of women just think, oh, this is what I have. I was born like, yeah, there's so much you could do.
I've seen it over and over. I've had people that stimulated poorly with consistent treatment with acupuncture. The AMH levels go up. Their hormonal profile looks better. The time, you know, we turn the clock back a little bit. They produce better egg quality, more eggs of better quality over time. It's just a phenomenon, but we're not here to prove whether acupuncture works. I'm just here to help people get to where they need to be.
Absolutely. Well, and it sounds like through all your testimonials, it definitely works. So another question we have is, when it comes to menopause, how does Chinese medicine and Western medicine, like, how do they look at it? Is it different? Okay. Like, that's our question.
So Western medicine, I think we know, is gaslighting, right? Like, you're crazy. You're at the end of your reproductive cycle. It's in your head. Okay. I tell this to all my patients. It's not in your head. It's in your brain. There is an aspect of brain chemistry and it's complicated, right? So if we're to say that like cortisol is the stress hormone and it impairs autonomic function, so all these systems go offline, we need to course correct that. In the case of like menopause, we need to balance the surge of progesterone. We need to tamp it down and lower it so that we're not getting hot flashes, we're not getting night sweats. So this is something that happens in Chinese medicine. We know that you're going to go through menopause. It doesn't have to be uncomfortable. And I can tell you, along with sciatica, it is a very, very, very effective. Like, within a couple weeks, the hot flashes are gone. That like intense internal like burning goes away. It is a management situation. You're not going to go through menopause. We could just make it easier. But I know that people, when they fall off the wagon, they're back in. Oh my God, I got to get back in here. We are in a man. I don't do a lot of management, but in this situation, we are managing it. It is pleasant and it is effective.
Wow, that's really exciting for people. Because like you said, in Western medicine, yeah, women are just kind of gaslit and they're just told, oh, sorry, this is normal. You got to go through it.
There is what we have patterns. It almost makes you look like a carnival wizard where you can say to a patient their own symptoms. It's that menopause will present with hot flashes, night sweats, palpitations, anxiety, insomnia over and over and over again. Same thing with a young woman who's like trying to get pregnant. She will have an irregular cycle. It'll be irregularly irregular. It'll be all over the place. It'll go from 23 to 32. That throws off peak fertility. It's not day 14, right? They will have cramps. They will have clots. They will have migraine headaches, right? They will have breast tenderness and they'll have stress, some sort of like life emotional stressor, and it'll come over and over again. There's a few outliers here and there, but we know this because we've been tracking it for thousands of years. The oldest textbook was compiled in 1237 AD, right? So we know that this is going to come up. So we prepare ahead of time to say like, we are going to implement this sort of procedure and we will see an improvement because again, getting back to more of like the central effect, we're going to regulate how the body works. We're going to release the endorphins. We're going to cut the cortisol. We're going to balance estrogen and progesterone, and you're going to improve and you're going to feel better.
How does herbs help with balancing hormones?
So herbs, we have like bioidentical hormones. We have some herbs that kind of help produce estrogen naturally, you know, which you have to be careful because if you have patients who have a history of like cancer and breast cancer and ovarian cancer, you can't use those herbs. You have to be super, super careful about what you're doing. And that comes with time and experience. But overall, what we're doing is, okay, so the synergy between acupuncture and herbal medicine, if I want to improve the function of an organ, that means there's some component in the bloodstream. So the herbs take these sort of like nutrients from the plants and you put it in the bloodstream, and then with the acupuncture you can divert it to an ovary, uterus, a low back, lumbar muscle. Or so if I say I want, you know, pain relief, if I want an analgesic type herb, something that kind of blocks pain or anti-inflammatory. But that's, how's it going to get there, right? It's in your system. It's anti-inflammatory. It's analgesic. I can put the filament in and guide it to your lower back, to your glute in the case of sciatica, to your ovary, to your uterus, to improve egg quality, to improve endometrial receptivity, to the improvement. So what people don't realize with the situation like IVF, it is a process, right? It's, somebody has to go in there and, pardon me for saying, cram a baby in you, right? And if it doesn't work, you get disappointed. So there's a lot of variables there that can kind of go, it's not 100%. It's only around 60-40. So when it fails, the patient kind of takes that in and it just takes the wind out of their sails going forward. It just seems like an impossibility. So when I treat a patient, I want them regular to get pregnant naturally on their own, not, and they should be intimate. And if it works, great. But I want the body to know for it to be impregnated for when the transfer happens, right? So when they implant that embryo, the body and the brain have to know. And that's why we promote intimacy, because there are chemical and mechanical signals that tell the uterus to be impregnated. When you remove intimacy, now it's just like kind of like a void spot. It's harder. Chances go down.
Yeah. I never even thought about that. That makes a lot of sense though.
Wow. This has definitely taken acupuncture to another level for me.
Well, thank you for saying.
Well, being mindful of our time today, Dr. Bays, what are two simple things a woman can do today to improve her hormonal balance?
Well, obviously, make an appointment and come on in. No, we could definitely help. You know, reducing stress is a big one. Eating properly is a good one. I can only really, as an acupuncturist, I can only speak to somebody. If you're acutely in need of care and you're suffering, acupuncture is something that's definitely helpful. That's one thing, making an appointment and then implementing some sort of herbal supplement, herbal formula. It would definitely help.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, as part of your guidance, do you guide people on diet somewhat? And do you do any kind of testing or anything like that?
No, I send that out to nutrition. And we work with several nutritionists in there. Some are more women's health, fertility oriented. Some are more, you know, general practice, you know, metabolic type things. It's a community. It's a network. You know, I'm one of many people trying to help. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And I have to mention that we met Dr. Bays at the M Factor event.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
The screening of that.
Yeah. The M Factor. What was their whole tagline? Shattering the silence on menopause. And so it was just great, you know, first of all, that you're there, you know, involved in the community and being a part of, like you just said, like breaking this whole gaslighting situation for us. And so thank you for that.
Yeah, you have to understand from my point of view, it's very frustrating to be able to have the tools to help people and then it not being mentioned. I mean, listen, your doctor, they're very busy. They got to do a lot. They don't know. So you can't really ask your doctor. You can, you should. The responsible thing to do is, but just know, like, things like this are very helpful. People who need help, there is help there. You know, we have the tools and we're very motivated to help. This is worse than, there's nothing worse than sitting and suffering. Here's what people tell me, right? Oh, I didn't do this sooner because you didn't know about it, right? And I can't run out in the streets like a carnival barker dragging people into my office, right? So there has to be a community. There have to be people working together, but it has to be effective and it has to kind of work within the paradigms of science so that people get the best quality of care. What do we say? Do no harm, right? But you also have to help, right? You have to make things better.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, I'm one of those people that you're just talking about. Like, I didn't know all this. And so I'm looking forward to making an appointment with you.
Yeah, thank you. We look forward locally to having you. And I really thank you for having me here because it's just that important for people to know that there are options. We won't gaslight you here. That's not what we do.
Yes, I love that. Everyone, to know that you can connect with Dr. Baez on Instagram and Facebook. His handle is AccuHealthNJ, or visit his website at AccuHealthNJ.com. Is there anywhere else we should direct people, or are those the best?
That's it. I'm kind of old school. I want to get them on the phone. I want you to talk. Give us a call, right? 732-898-2284 or book through the website or whatever. But give us a call. I mean, I want to get you on the phone. I want to hear about what's going on and forget all the posts and feeds. It's real medicine. It's personal. It's
awesome. Love that.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes. We would love to hear from you. Please leave a comment or review. Email us at info@functionalmoms.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.